This is episode 77 of Our Modern Heritage, the Home and Family Culture Podcast, and I'm your host, Jody Chafee. Family culture is the collective vision, values, traditions, and habits that make up or create our family identity, the feeling in our home and in our family. It's everything that is our family. Every family has a culture, whether by default or by design. My mission for this show is to help to discover and design our family culture more intentionally by offering insights and tools from experts, authors, and influencers who are lending services to families or have been influenced by their own family culture in the course of their own success. As I explore the different possibilities of family culture, I will be posting updates on my website at homeandfamilyculture.com and on Instagram at Family Culture Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today. In this episode, I'm talking with Monica Tanner, and she has a podcast called On the Brighter Side, and she also started a nonprofit service organization in her community called Just Do Some Good. So we'll be talking a lot about how service can influence and impact your family culture. And I'm excited to share this with you. I want to welcome to the show Monica Tanner. Monica is a wife and a mother of four amazingly talented and wonderful children. She was born and raised in Dallas, Texas, and she went to college at University of Texas at Austin and received a bachelor's degree in sociology and child development. Shortly after graduating college, she met the man of her dreams, and they moved to Boise, Idaho to raise their family. She says she's been a stay-at-home mom and a small business owner for 15 years and loves to share the lessons that she's learned throughout her podcast, which is the Brighter Side Podcast, and where she talks about how people who are ready to up-level their lives in an area of physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual health. And she discusses real-life lessons that she's learned and interviewing others living their lives on the brighter side. Monica is also the creator and founder of a nonprofit called Just Do Some Good that she started last year, and that keeps her busy on her toes. So I'm so excited to talk to you, Monica. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So I'm really interested in this idea of, you know, you approached me to come on the show to talk about how service has impacted your family culture. And I'm excited about that because, you know, service is really, it's so important. But I feel like it's something that a lot of people put on their back burner, say, oh, someday I'll serve, or they, you know, pick little things along, you know, that they might do here and there to serve. Or at Christmas time, you know, it's like, okay, that's a seasonal thing. But I think that service can be really powerful to impact our family culture and the feeling that we have in our home, and also, you know, character developments that we can help to instill in our children as we raise them. And so I'm looking forward to talking with you more about this because I do think it's a really important topic.
For sure. Yeah.
So tell me more about your nonprofit and what inspired you to start that?
Yeah. So Just Do Some Good is the name of it. And it's actually, I started it last year. And the reason I started it is because I had a lot more time and I wanted to do service. And I think I got really discouraged about what I was seeing on social media, especially the kids that are my oldest. My oldest is 15 and he was just starting to get into social media. And so of course, you know, I had been on social media sharing things about my family. It was kind of the way I kept my journal, but I started to dig in a lot when he got on the platforms, and I started to notice these crazy things that these kids were doing for attention. And it really shook me to the core. I mean, these kids are doing these dangerous behaviors, you know, abusing different substances, just doing these things that are really scary, actually, and all in the name of likes and follows and views and all of this. And so I started to get really, how can we combat this? How can we figure out a way to, you know, fight this epidemic of these kids trying so hard to get attention, but doing it in negative ways? And so I thought, what if you were scrolling through your feed and you saw all these examples of service? And what if you not only you saw you know, the cool kids at school doing service, but you saw like role models, like actors and actresses and movie stars and singers and, you know, reality stars and the people that, you know, these kids look up to and think are awesome. What if they were sharing about their service on social media? And so the first hurdle I had to overcome was, you know, people say, oh, service should be done in secret, you know, but my kind of argument to that was, if we do service in secret, then how are these kids going to know? Like, how are we going to give them ideas? And like, what if we made service so cool that people are competing against each other, finding better and better ways to serve? Yeah. And so that's how I started. And that's still the idea behind Just Do Some Good. What I really wanted to do was kind of be a social media manager for nonprofits, because I noticed that nonprofits weren't making use of social media. Like, they're not getting their information out there. And so how are we supposed to know about service projects, and how are we supposed to know about things going on in our area if they're not posting it on social media? So what I really wanted to do was teach high schoolers how to spend their time instead of, you know, posting these ridiculous things on social media. If they could somehow work for these nonprofits and post about, you know, what they have going on and make service cool. And so I realized that was a little bit out of my scope to be able to spend that much time, because basically, like, legally, and, you know, once I dug into all of that a little bit more, I would have to, you know, personally be supervising all of these kids and make sure I knew exactly what they were posting and all of that. And I didn't have the bandwidth for that. So I've had to pivot a little bit in our, you know, mission and what our primary focus is, but really it's still, the main idea is still the same. I still want to get kids excited about service. You know, if we can get the cool kids, the athletes, the influencers to be posting more about service, and you're scrolling through your feed and you're seeing service and you're like, oh, that's something I can do, you know, on my own or with my family or as a teenager. That's what I would love to see happen. And so we try to find a lot of local opportunities for service, set up service projects, invite lots of cool kids, influencers, and, you know, anyone who will come participate with us, and then encourage them to post about it and talk about their feelings about it, their experience, and, you know, just making it cool to do service.
I love that, because it sounds like you saw the problem, and instead of like throwing rocks at the problem, you're like, let's create something else and fill that environment with good things that to take, you know, distract from the negative things and go towards the good things. I saw a post recently that was like, don't use social media less, use it for better reasons.
Yeah,
because social media is not going away.
Exactly. And we see these teenagers, and I think part of their development is to kind of figure out who they are in the world, you know, and now with social media, so different. They are creating these identities online that are sometimes them and sometimes not, but they have to go so far to get, you know, these likes and these follows. And so, you know, what if instead of doing these negative behaviors to get likes, what if they were doing positive things? Like, what if they were organizing these humongous service projects and getting all kinds of positive affirmations and likes and views and attention for that instead of the negative? You know, that's what we're working towards ultimately.
So your role is to organize those activities for them? Basically.
Yeah, I've been working with mayors of the different cities around here, or like the Boise Rescue Mission, and just trying to find ways opportunities to do, you know, service projects where we can invite all the cheerleaders and football players and, you know, Boise State athletes. And, you know, if we have any big influencers or movie stars that are kind of around here that would give of their time to show up and speak or participate, or, you know, even politicians. Mayor Tammy has been really involved with what we've been doing, and she's the mayor of Meridian. And so it's just, when you see your role models and the people you look up to and the people you think are really cool participating, then you're like, hey, I want to be there. I want to do what they're doing and, you know, really just encourage people to, you know, and when the influencers are there, then they're posting about it. Typically they post about what they eat. So why not post about what they're doing? You know? So that's the idea, is really to just proliferate service.
Have you found it challenging to get those kids involved? Like, do you feel like they're already doing a lot with their schedules, and how do you overcome that?
For sure. Well, they're busy for sure. And I've had a really hard time actually getting service projects to go through. It's interesting because it takes a lot of manpower and a lot of hours of work to get a service project to go through. So my very first one that we were sponsoring and, you know, working on, it fell through because we didn't have the manpower to organize it all the way. And so that's been tough. That's, you know, kind of a difficult hurdle to overcome, is to get enough people to give up their time for free, that know enough about what they're doing to be able to participate and to organize a huge project, because that in and of itself takes a lot of work. So we're still working on that. We need to get more people on board, more people to see the mission, get excited about it, and more capable people that can organize the big projects that then just anyone can participate. So, and then you're right, kids are busy. They're doing sports and graduating and homework and whatever else they're doing. So, you know, it is sometimes is difficult to mobilize them to an effort, but a lot of times kids love to do service. I mean, I've found that if you give them opportunities to do service, all you have to do is offer them pizza at the end or something, and they're happy to participate.
I'd imagine that once you get them out there and doing it, they start to see the benefit and start to feel how that service is doing good, and that would inspire them to do more or want to participate more.
Absolutely. I mean, it's such a natural high. You know, nobody wants to go to a service project. Everybody rolls their eyes and tries to think of an excuse. But once you're there, man, it's hard to deny the feeling of, you know, of really serving somebody else that you get.
So what are some examples of the projects that you have been able to organize? What do you do?
So the service project, one project that we participate in every year is called Brush Up Nampa. And so it's where we go out and we put teams together and they paint houses for kind of elderly or handicapped people that don't have the financial means to keep their houses, you know, up to code or whatever. So we'll go out and paint their house. And so the service project that I tried really hard to organize and couldn't do was for, it was the same idea, but for another city. It was called Beautify Caldwell, and we didn't quite get it off the ground. So maybe we'll try again this summer. But so that's been a really good one. For the Boise Rescue Mission, sometimes they have landscaping projects or painting projects or things like that. Sometimes we can do, you know, kind of drives to help them. Most recently, gather water because they needed bottled water. So just little things like that. And then I've worked with the city on a few things. We've done something called Do the Right Day. So that's a day in Meridian where they encourage everyone. They pass out 50,000 of these stickers that say do the right, do something kind for the person on your right. And they give them out at all the schools and coffee shops, and different businesses participate. And so that's been really fun. I got to give money towards that and you know, help sponsor and organize that. So that was a really fun thing. But I'm still looking. I mean, I'm taking ideas. So, you know, if anyone has, you know, a need or knows of a need in our local, more, you know, we're trying to stay more local, but in our local area, you know, I would love to do that. And then my kids are getting a little bit older now. And so we've been looking for, you know, kind of mission, small missions that we can do in the summer that we can go and post about, where, you know, we can go to another country and we can help build wells or whatever it is that they need and post about it and post about this great experience where we got to travel, we got to meet people from a different culture. And more than anything, you know, how it affects my family culture is, you know, we live in a very affluent area. We have a nice house with nice cars and we have really, you know, affluent neighbors and the pool and all of that. And so more than anything, I just hope that my kids realize that that's not super normal. Like, not everybody has all of those amenities and niceties in life that we enjoy. And we've worked very hard to get those things. And I don't want my kids in any way to think that money is bad, but I want them to understand that when you have money, you free yourself up not only financially to be able to contribute, but also with your time and with your energy. There's so much that you can contribute to people that don't have, you know, that level of affluence, of privilege that we do. And so that's what I want them to know, that I want them to work hard and I want them to make a lot of money, but then I want them to use that for good and not just, you know, being at the lake every day or whatever.
Right. So basically what you're saying is, like, the way that service is influencing your family culture is that it allows you to expose your kids to different situations and to become familiar with things that are different from what they've grown up with and things that they're used to. And so, you know, have you seen that a transformation in their attitudes for other people or their attitude towards service as you've implemented that in your family?
Yeah. So we recently did a soup kitchen. And I think that was hugely eye-opening, more for my younger kids who were like, these people don't have places to sleep. I mean, they've seen homeless people before, but I think, you know, we're dishing out soup and bread and these people are so thankful. My kids would be like, ew, I don't want to eat that, right? And so they're realizing that there are people who are hungry and will eat anything, you know, just to stay alive because they don't have it's like the kids we've done over the summer. They have the programs where they give out lunches at the park to the kids, you know, and these kids, they come in and they're hungry, you know, and they're eating, you know, food that, you know, I mean, it's okay food, but my kids would like toss the cheese aside or whatever. Right. You know, and they're seeing that these kids are hungry and they can't just open their refrigerators and pantries and pick out from a bazillion different snacks, right? They eat what they're served and they're thankful for it. And so I think that's has definitely been eye-opening for my younger kids.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, it's something that I've been focusing a little bit lately on my social media or just as my, in my family culture is heart education, because, you know, there's only so much you can do to teach children about emotional intelligence and about, you know, empathy and all these different kind of things by educating their mind. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to create circumstances and opportunities where they get an education of their heart, which is basically getting an understanding of the world and their place in it and opening up their perspective that, that there's more to life than just what they're experiencing right now.
Yeah.
That speaks to me and my family culture and the things that I'm trying to accomplish in our family and the message that I'm trying to convey too, is that in order to cultivate these things in our children, we need things like service to cultivate their hearts, to help them to realize that, if I fail at school or if I'm, you know, whatever, like the grades are important, but they're not quite, you know, that they're important, but it's just as important to be able to love and to care and to reach out to people in different situations.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And a lot of these programs where you travel overseas to these third world countries and do service there, you have to be 16. So my son is just going to be old enough next summer to be able to participate in a lot of that. And I'm hoping, I mean, I haven't even seen a lot of the poverty that exists, you know, in other countries. And so I'm excited for myself too, to see that, but I'm hoping that will be life-changing, that they'll see like, these people don't even have clean water to drink. I mean, they work for everything. So, you know, I'm excited to be able to, you know, kind of open not only my own eyes, but the eyes of my children as they get a little bit older and can handle like that type of, you know, hopefully they can see like, wow, I mean, clean drinking water and, you know, clothes and shoes and, you know, we totally take that stuff for granted.
Yeah. And it's stuff that you're not going to see in the news. I mean, the news, like they might focus on like really extreme situations and it's heartbreaking. And then that just, you know, that brings a different feeling. But when you're actually there and you go and you see it That would be definitely eye-opening. And my sister is actually going to do, her daughter is going to go on, like, have you heard of Especially for Youth, there's EFY.
Yeah, H-E-F-Y. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's humanitarian EFY now. Yes, and so yes. My niece is going to go to Samoa on a mission trip. So is that part of your mission too on Just Do Some Good? You want to be able to do that kind of, basically like that?
Yeah, eventually I'd love to incorporate that because, I mean, as many kids as can swing it, it is expensive to do programs like that. But, I mean, if you can swing it, you know, like I always say, like the cool kids, you know, in air quotes. But, you know, if the cool kids are doing stuff like that, I mean, like, I'd want to go. Like if some cute guy was going to serve in, you know, Haiti, I'd want to go too. So, I mean, at that age. So, you know, I don't know, maybe that helps a little bit.
Well, and I think it also has other side benefits too. Cause like, as my niece has been preparing to go on this trip, she's been doing like fundraisers. And so she's actually been doing stuff like almost more entrepreneurial to try to put things out there as to raise money for her trip and stuff. And so that, it has other extensive, you know, other benefits more than, I mean, obviously to go and to be immersed in that culture and in that situation is going to develop that, but also the preparations to be able to go and be committed to doing that also has benefits. What do you do to make serving is your family more doable? Because that was something that you were talking, it was just like, how do people make time for this? Or, you know, it sounds time consuming. It sounds like it's easy to come up with excuses to be like, oh, that sounds difficult, challenging. That sounds hard. What are some of the things that you do to make it so that it's easy or, like, you know, something that it makes it appealing to your kids or makes it more doable, more practical?
Yeah. Well, so let me start with a little bit of backstory. So when I was growing up, I had a brother and two stepsisters. So there was the four of us and my dad and my stepmom, we lived with them. And, you know, blended families are really tough. We had a hard time, you know, getting along and, you know, figuring out everybody's roles. Like my stepsister used to be the oldest, but now I was the oldest. And so, you know, there was a lot of, you know, discontentment and we had a hard time figuring that all out. And I remember the best thing, I think the entire time we were growing up, the best thing we ever did was this program at Christmas time that was a sub for Santa, where we worked in a warehouse and families would come and we'd help them shop. You know, they'd have a list of, you know, things that their kids needed and food and things like that they could shop for. And we'd walk around and we'd help them, you know, pick out things that were appropriate for their kids. And so we were all teenagers. We're all very close in age. And like, I'll never forget how much kind of fun we had together. We kind of put aside all the differences and all the hurts and things like that. And we all just enjoyed serving together and realized that like we were so lucky, you know, that our parents didn't have to do that. And, you know, instead of being upset because he got a bigger present at Christmas or whatever, we were just really thankful that, you know, we weren't struggling in that way. And so I think that changed our relationship a little bit, that experience doing that together. And so I always keep that in the back of my mind. Like, it's not realistic. I mean, obviously my kids are busy with their schooling and their sports and, you know, all the different things that they do. So it's not realistic to be doing service all the time, but I try to look for ways, and it's not that easy, actually. It's kind of hard to find things that all the age groups of your kids and things can participate in, but there's always soup kitchens. But like my husband is the go-to, like if there is a project going on somewhere or somebody is moving or something like that, he is like, always the first one there. He loves that. And so my kids get to see that as an example, and he's constantly takes somebody with him. Like even the youngest one can pull weeds or whatever. And so if there's ever, I mean, if he sees a neighbor, like we'll be driving down the street, and if he sees a neighbor that's trying to move something or working on their yard, he will literally stop, like on the way to doing something fun. I mean, he will stop, pull over and help. Like that's just how my husband is and has always been. And so, and then I work with Just Do Some Good. And so my kids get to see some of the fun things that we do with Just Do Some Good and things like that. So, you know, just trying to exemplify that and then just looking for things that, there was a big service project, in our town, and it was kind of like a humanitarian work day in the church, but it wasn't done by the LDS church. But they were making like birthday bags and making quilts and doing days for girls. They just had all these different stations, set up where you could just do different types of service. And I think they're going to try and make that kind of a quarterly thing. But I just took my daughter and a few of her friends. Like, she's like, can I play with my friends? And I was like, sure, but actually I'm going to do this. You can invite whoever you want, but we're going to go do that. And they had so much fun. I mean, they made these birthday banners and they learned how to tie quilts. They thought it was the coolest thing ever. And so when, I guess your question is, how do we make that desirable and things like that? Maybe that's a way, is like, sure, invite all of your friends, like get your friends together and let's all go together and do this thing, because many hands make the work light. And so teaching them and showing them that is really powerful, I think.
I think that's a good idea, because, you know, when you organize something like that, gives them something to do and something to keep themselves busy, and it's uplifting. So that sounds really cool. And yeah. And then as you were talking about your family, it reminded me of that movie, Yours, Mine, and Ours. They both have huge families and they get married, and she's super artistic and he's in the military. So they're totally different, like, styles of learning or of like culture, trying to blend that culture. But, and then the dad, he tries to organize all these kids to fix up this big house that they bought. And, but the kids were not having it. They were so miserable. They were just like, no way, we don't get along. But the kids secretly organized this plot to separate their parents, which, you know, you think, oh no, that's this horrible idea. But through that project, they bonded.
Yeah.
And so it's like, when the dad, in some ways, when we as parents try to like instigate things and kids kind of rebel, or they're like, oh, they roll their eyes and they have contempt for that or whatever. But a lot of times if you go, this could be a really good idea, let's talk about it, let's get your friends involved. When kids do come together to work on something and it's something that they feel inspired by, then that really does cultivate that relationship and creates those bonds. And so, you know, if it's something that they are enrolled in, then they will strengthen those relationships, the people that they're serving with. And so that just reminded me of that, even though their plot was to do something destructive, it actually, it has merit, because it just lends to this idea that when the kids instigate it, when they're enrolled in it, a lot of times that's a good way to get them involved, is something that they're excited and inspired about.
Yeah. So that reminds me of, I don't know if your kids are old enough to play this game, but Bigger or Better. Have you ever heard of that? Mm-mm. So it's where they go door to door. So they'll break up into teams and they'll go door to door and they'll start with like a pencil or something. And they'll say, do you have something bigger or better than this pencil? And they'll trade at the houses, and they'll like literally go around to our neighbors. And I got so fed up with this game. I was like, no, do not bring any more crap home from Bigger or Better, and do not bother our neighbors. Like, but then we got this, like, well, and at church, then they did this thing called a service scavenger hunt. And I was like, that is so much better than Bigger or Better. Yeah. You can play it just like Bigger or Better, but it's so much better if they have different, like, if you give them a list of like things that they can do for service, and then they go around and like, can we do this for you? Can we do this? And they check it off. It's the same idea, and they're still doing it with their friends, but it's so cool. And so last summer we did more service scavenger hunts than Bigger or Better, thankfully, because I hate that game. But it was so cool to see these kids, because I think it kind of sunk deeply into them. Because like my son would be out like working in the lawn or doing his lawn jobs or whatever, and you would see his friends, they'd be riding their bikes or driving down the road or whatever, and they would stop, get out and help him finish his yard work or whatever, so he could go hang out with them or whatever. But I mean, it's just this kind of like mindset of like, if somebody else is working and we can help or lighten their load, like, let's do it. And so I just really love that. Like, my daughter loves to cook. And so this year I want to try and come up with some ideas. Like, they do, what they do, baking wars where they make cakes or whatever. Okay. And like, yeah. And so I'm like, maybe she can learn like to do lasagna or casseroles or even cake wars or whatever. And then we can just bring those around to the neighbors who might need them or something like that. So I'm like trying to think of like, you know, spins on things that they're already doing, games that they're already playing, but how can we make them a little more service oriented? So anyways, that's cool. Yeah.
Those I are like that. Well, you know, and one of the like quote that I share at the end of every episode here is from Mother Teresa, that if you want to change the world, go home and love your family. And yeah, service is one of those things that I can see that if you cultivate that in your family, in your culture, mm-hmm. that does have a direct impact on the world around them. And I mean, just as you were describing this idea of like going around to your neighbors and serving them, how that would unite you as neighbors and feel like, oh, I don't need to be isolated. I'm not isolated in my problems or anything like that. You're allowing them to open up your doors and to serve each other. Mm-hmm. And then, seeing opportunities for service and not just everybody shutting their doors and going, I'm going to deal with this. It's my own problem, whatever.
Yeah.
Because how sad is that? You know, that's what our culture, our country, you know, at large is kind of become, is I'm going to suffer through this on my own or keep this in the dark. And then it doesn't, you know, that we all know that goes sour, you know, quickly. It can go sour really quickly. This morning I was reading about this woman was posting about her son committing suicide and how when we feel like we have to endure these things alone, but when we talk about them, we expose that, you know, when we're alone, that's darkness. And when we're talking about them, we have to bring them to light, and we share that story that we are experiencing in darkness with other people, and they help carry that story. Yeah. And how powerful and important that is. And that just the small acts of service can help maybe even save a life.
So these kids that are feeling depressed and suicidal, like if we can get them into service, they can realize like you have something so valuable you can share with the world or do for somebody else or make somebody else's life better.
Yeah. Well, that brings me full circle to when you started out talking about the awful things that kids post on social media to get attention. Imagine that, you're right. Like if we could have them out doing these things, start getting positive feedback for doing good things,
yeah,
then it's the upward cycle. It spirals upward to keep doing this. Keep feeding into this positivity and upward action of growth.
So there's these videos that are put out by, I think if you look up Flamingo Films, there's these, have you ever heard of pickpocketing? You know what pickpocketing is, right? You know, okay, when somebody grabs your wallet or whatever. Uh-huh. So they do these series of films and they call it put pocketing.
Uh-huh.
So where they go around in a big city and they sneak money into people's pockets, or a granola bar into, you know, a diaper bag or whatever, like they're putting things instead of picking things. Right. And it's hilarious. Like these guys are so funny. And these videos, I mean, they're so uplifting and hilarious. Like I'd watch them over and over and over again, especially if I was having a bad day, just to laugh at some of these, you know, scenarios. And I just think, man, if we could get kids focused on stuff like that, like if we could get them making videos like that or looking for ways to do stuff like that, oh, like how would that change the landscape of social media or the internet or YouTube, like what we're watching? Like I just, if they could just focus on that. And then I was thinking about how to create service as more of a family culture. If you had younger kids, like my kids are getting a little bit older, they could do things like that. But for younger kids, when my kids were younger, we used to love to have like secret elves or, you know, Valentine's Day, you have a secret admirer or whatever, where you get assigned a person in the family and you're just trying to do nice things for them, like make their bed. And our kids always got so into that, like amazingly, like when we would be assigning, they'd be like, "Ooh, I don't want this person," you know, but it was so amazing. Like once you gave them a couple little ideas, like how excited they got about it. They buy each other their favorite candy and they'd make each other's bed and leave each other little notes. And that's a great way to engender the idea of service in your family culture with younger kids.
That's so cool. A friend of mine does, leading up to her birthday, she'll do like as many acts of service for as many days leading up to her birthday that she's turning.
Yeah.
So like she'll do stuff like tape money on vending machines or put money or something underneath the windshield wipers of people's cars or, you know, just a lot of different random things like that where, you know, just to
surprise. I love that idea.
Anonymous and, so she'll do cool stuff like that. And I just really admire that about her.
Oh, I'm going to be 40 this month. Like, 40 I should totally do that as part of Just Do Some Good, like 40 days. I don't even think I have 40 days till my birthday, but maybe I should start right now. I love that idea. Like, oh my gosh, that makes me so happy. Like, think about if your kids did that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, her kids have gotten so into it, and I'll have to look up on her social media, like some of the things and list them on my show notes or something. But yeah, like she does all kinds of like just really tiny things even that you just think, oh, that would be really cool to find a dollar on the vending machine. Be like, she's like, enjoy your snack or something. And
yes, I'm or, so or, doing you know, that.
Just pay for somebody's groceries that's behind you or somebody's gas at the gas station or, you know, whatever. Or, I don't know, stuff like that, that, you know, that are just random things. Thing you mentioned, the flamingo show, and there's also that Random Acts show on
BYU TV.
And that one is so cool to watch too, because they do little things in there, you know, it's kind of like Mythbusters where they have a big project and then they have little ones too that are going on. Mm-hmm. And so they'll do like a big project to serve somebody that like really needs something, like rebuilding their basement or taking them, doing something that's really cool. And then they have little things too. Like some of them are really funny. Like there's the one where they had this like fortune teller machine out on a boardwalk and people would walk by and the host would like have a speaker and they'd be like, "Hey, come over here and ask me a question." And then they would give them money or something, you know? And like, it's just like silly things that are cute. And my kids love that show too. So.
Oh, I love it. Yeah. Oh, so many good ideas.
That's awesome. So in conclusion, like what are some other, you know, so do you have resources? You know, there's obviously your nonprofit, but it sounds local to Boise. Do you have other things that you recommend to help people to learn more about ways they can serve?
Yeah. So I think anywhere you live, I would just open up. Well, I guess you don't open up a phone book anymore. I guess I would. That dates me. Wow. I guess I would just Google, you know, nonprofits and just call around. I mean, I think you would be surprised at how much there really is to do if you just call around to, you know, different shelters, different places and just say, "Hey, what are your needs? Like I have a family or I have a group of teenagers or something. And we'd love to help out in some way. Like, what are your needs?" And you'll be surprised. Like the Boise Rescue Mission told us that they needed water. And that was such an easy thing that we could, you know, do a drive for everybody, brought us like some packages of bottled water. And it didn't cost that much, you know, and we just filled up trucks and took them bottles of water. But, you know, I think anywhere you live, you can do something like that. What I did when I started Just Do Some Good, it was I emailed all the mayors of the cities around and just said, "Hey, you know, we've got some financial resources and some volunteers who are willing to do projects. You know, what are your needs?" And that's how I got in with the mayor of Meridian, who's given me lots of opportunities to serve, and she's been awesome. And now I'm on the board of what's called the Community Kindness Movement. And that is a movement where they go into the elementary schools, and it's got a whole curriculum on kindness, and it's basically a big anti-bullying thing. But they write a lot of notes. They do kind of pep rallies every Thursday where they talk about service. And so I'm just now sitting on the board of that and learning more about them. And that's been a really cool experience. But look in your schools, you know, look in your, you know, Google, just different shelters and things like that. And, you know, even just take your family on a tour. I haven't done this yet, but I really want to take my family on a tour of the Boise Rescue Mission so they can see, you know, the kitchen and where the people sleep and things like that, know what the mission of that is. Those are good places to start.
Yeah. I've heard of that, doing tours of like a nonprofits or something. Have you found justserve.org is a useful
one? Yes. Good. I'm so glad you brought that up. Yes. Justserve.org is a great resource, like fantastic way to find service. That's how we found the lunch in the park that we did last summer. We love, so we would just go to different parks around the area and we would serve lunches to these kids that came. And I thought that was so awesome for my kids to get to do, because it's not really threatening, you know, and it's kids their age that, you know, don't have food at home, and they come and they get their free meals and they play at the park and my kids are hanging out with them and kids love other kids. So yeah, justserve.org is a fantastic resource. And if you are a nonprofit, you know, posting things on JustServe gives people a way to find you. So utilize social media. A lot of times you'll see on social media, there'll be a service project or something. We did, there was a clinic that was really cool. And so a lot of our dentists or doctor friends, nurses, volunteered their time at this clinic. And of course I don't have any medical background at all, but I did the inpatients. So they came and they checked in with me or whatever. And so, and I just found that one online. So yeah, just there's service everywhere. You know, there's always, in any time you do any type of event, I've noticed, like at the school or something, you can call the food bank, like any local food bank, and have donating food a part of it. And so we've done that a lot of our events. We've just had, you know, canned food donations. Just get creative. If nothing else, make your kids do a scavenger hunt. A service scavenger.
We just did too. We have in our Relief Society activity, so a ribbons organization, we did an activity where it was a service auction. And it wasn't for money. It was kind of like we earned points and we were able to, but it got everybody thinking about what service or skill that they could contribute. And then everybody brought canned goods to come and participate at that activity. And then we offered, you know, stuff like free babysitting or meals, or some people actually offered some of their professional capabilities to just give if there was somebody that was going to be able to use that, or, you know, so it was pretty cool that even just as a community, being able to find ways within our organization to serve each other. So that was really cool. Monica, this has been so great, and I really appreciate your thoughts and your experiences, and so thankful that you were willing to come on my show and to share this with more people, because, you know, this is something that more people need to know about, that service isn't as scary as we maybe think it is, and it's something that is so beneficial. You know, just so many of the different things that we talked about were beneficial to our families, to our communities, to society at large, and just, you know, the impact that it can have going, spreading further because of social media, you know, that it's really limitless, the possibility of the benefits. So thank you so much for sharing. And so tell us where we can find you when we're looking for more about you and what you're working on.
Yeah, you bet. So my favorite place to hang out is Instagram. So you can find me at MoniTanner1 on Instagram. And then I do my podcast On the Brighter Side. So you can look that up on any podcast listening app or my website, onthebrightersideoflife.com. And then you can find out about our service adventures if you live in Boise, but probably, I don't know how many listeners you have that live right next to me, but if you want to follow along at justdosomegood.org or just do some good on any social media platform. But I just wanted to say thank you to you, Jody, for having me on, and love this topic of obviously. And I love your podcast and what you're doing, because family culture is so important. And I think people most of the time just haphazardly like go into family life thinking, we'll just fly by the seat of our pants and it'll be great. And that works for some people, but being intentional is so important. So I love what you teach and what you talk about on your podcast.
Thank you.
I'm so grateful that Monica was willing to come on my show. She had so many fun insights and ideas about how we can do more service in our families and the importance of incorporating that into our families so that we can have a more giving and generous family culture. I'm so thankful for that. And I'm grateful for Monica too, because we had a fun collaboration going on that I was able to be on her show on The Brighter Side too. And so I hope you will check that out. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for following along. And I hope that you're getting value from these episodes and from these ideas and insights about how we can be more deliberate about our family culture, because family culture really is everything. Please go on to your favorite podcasting medium. Especially, I'd appreciate if you go head over to iTunes. Even if you don't listen on iTunes, you can go to iTunes.com and search for Our Modern Heritage and leave a rating and a little comment just in the review section. I would really appreciate that. That would help to spread the word of what we're doing and sharing this important message about family culture. Thank you so much, and go ahead and remember to follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Family Culture Podcast as well. And remember, Mother Teresa once said that if you want to change the world, go home and love your family.